Well, we're going to be, how many of you guys have been in this situation where you're trying to figure out what episode you're on Netflix or whatever, right? And you end up going through like 6 different episodes. You pretty well reviewed the whole thing. You catch some things that. So we're skipping skipping the kitty episode in the scripture. So she was going to be talking in John 14 about this place, the Holy Spirit coming that Jesus was preparing disciples with. But I think it will actually work pretty well. Just don't, you know, you can just have to rewind as we get her back up here. And I should have prayed for Kitty, shouldn't I? That's bad. Kitty, we love you if you're seeing us, and we just pray, God, your healing power on her, that she'll be quickly over her sickness in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that way I won't be harassed by her the rest of my life. All right. I wanted to just say this, as we look at this, is that, you know, when we see what's happening in this context, is these disciples are not doing well, right? I mean, we think our world's uncertain. Their world is so uncertain of what's coming, how it's going to happen, where they're going to be, what's happening with Jesus. They're just, I can't imagine what's happening inside of them. In fact, you can tell, well, Kitty will be talking about this, but as far as Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. That's probably because they were thinking that might happen. You're going to leave me, and I'm going to be left behind. And so what you see Jesus doing is helping them understand that you can't see it yet because the Pentecost has not come, but it's actually going to be better than you can imagine. And they couldn't possibly comprehend that. And so as we listen, as we look at the teachings here, you have to understand they're not grasping it all the way yet. They're getting a tiny bits of it. We can see it from a different perspective, but they're just listening, trying to figure out what's going on. And so Jesus is giving them some anchors of basically saying, everything's going sideways in your mind. Things are really hard, and they're not doing well. And I would say that would be the way I would put it as well, is that things aren't doing well. And this is what I've been feeling like as well. I've been thinking about Southwest Airlines because of their slogan. You guys know that slogan? What's that slogan? Yeah. I have found myself, I think that just captures sometimes. Have you guys been in this spot where it just becomes kind of too much? You know, but then you realize you don't know where to go, right? It's like we don't know how to get away. And when we get away, it doesn't settle the other things inside of us, right? I just found myself in places, and I can say right now I'm doing quite well, right? You might call me tonight, and I won't be doing as well. You guys know what I mean by this? You have these places that you're seeing, oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, you're in another spot, right? Because this is just the strange situation. I have 2 crowns that were put on, okay? So I was feeling, I stopped long enough, because I had to, because I was in a dental chair. I caught up with some of my emotions. So here's what's happening. Smoke's coming out my mouth. And I forget that I'm in a dentist chair, because I'm thinking so much about other stuff that's causing me pain. And I thought, this is pretty bad when you're in a dentist chair and you forget that smoke's coming out of your mouth, right? Anyway, so I say that because as we get into this place of this disciples, I think that it relates to this place of not knowing what's coming. And when you don't know what's coming, when your world has been shifted around, it just gives place for a lot of things to start trying to creep in, right? And so what we're learning, and we're listening to disciples, he's teaching us how to live in an uncertain world, how to live when nothing is secure, when you don't know the future. Now, he's speaking for what's going to happen from here on out of how you live with Jesus, but he's also speaking in this place that's saying, you're going to have a gap here between my death and my resurrection. There's going to be a big gap here, and you're going to have to decide how to live in this place of complete uncertainty. So, you know, I don't know. I'm a feeler, I'm a sensor, right? So sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll just feel things. And sometimes they're just because I'm not caught up emotionally and I'm feeling my own things. But sometimes I'm feeling that and I feel it so strongly. And God says, a lot of people are feeling this. And I pray about it, right? And so I've had a lot of times where I've been in situations where it is kind of tied to my things, but I feel like God's saying, not that everybody's in this spot, but there's a spot of where there's a lot of people who are really vulnerable right now. I think signs of 2020 is it's so easy to get upset. If you guys notice that, to get really ticked, have a shorter fuse, to find sadness kind of creeping in, to feel a bit overwhelmed at times. Sometimes I find myself fighting a degree of anxiety and fear. Sometimes we have a place that our emotions, if you're like me, you shove them down a little bit, and then they start coming up, and you don't know where to take them to. You try to take them to God, but it's hard. You think, who do I take those to? How do I do that? You know, I think sometimes in this kind of time where you're there, much like the disciples, you're kind of feel like you're going to get alone, become alone in this. It's just a lonely situation. You can get to a place of just not feeling seen or cared for, and then you think it's just you, and you talk to someone else, and they say, "Oh, I feel the same way." So as you look at that, is that as you're in the middle of all that, is I think a phrase that Debbie and I have had sometimes during this, and again, it's not all the time. Like, I'm full of faith right now, and it moves up and down. But Debbie and I have said, she looks at me and says, "What's going on?" Says, Debbie goes, "I'm just not doing well." I can't even put words on why I'm not doing well. I'm just not doing well. And then sometimes she'll look at me, "You're not doing well, are you?" "No, not really doing that well." And then I get with God, it comes back again. You know, this Saturday, I didn't have to teach, but I didn't have, so I'm all free. I get up at 6 in the morning, I go for this long, nice walk, and the breeze is cool, and I walk all the way to Starbucks and just spend lots of my Starbucks card on things that I normally don't buy, and I went over downtown Kirkwood, and I sat at this table across the street. There's a bunch of tables there. I was just sitting there. I'd already listened to worship music. I'd already listened to a devotion. I'd done a book on, and I've been just praying, and I'm writing stuff down. And what's interesting, it couldn't have been a more perfect moment. And it was really a gift from God, right? But even then, I found myself having this thing underneath that was hard to get a hold of, right? And I thought, God, I need you to help me come in this. And then a lady comes walking by, and she sits a couple tables down. She's 82 years old. And so we're kind of eating breakfast. And I asked her this question. I said, "How you holding up?" This is, by the way, if you want a good leading question, say this to anybody you meet. "How you doing? Good to see you. Hey, how you holding up in all this?" You'll be amazed what comes out after that. So I said, "How you holding up in all this?" And she said, that's what she said. She said, I would like to tell you, but I just can't tell people things anymore." I could tell she was 82 years old, and she didn't want to say what she was going through because she knew there'd be some reaction to what she felt, and she'd be shut down and ruin her day. We're in this environment of relationship that's just hard. And we ended up slowly talking, and eventually we had this amazingly great conversation. We exchanged books to read, and I learned all about her. It was one of the highlights of my day. Well, the disciples are at this spot where they're in this place, but they're just raw. They're really vulnerable, and they're on edge when this happens. And Jesus understands this, and he understands what's coming, and he's helping them say, here's how you do well in this time. So if you want to turn there, we're going to be talking in John 15, 1 through 17. And remember, Mike talked about this. He says, "I don't know the way." Isn't that a good question? How do I get through this? How do I find the way? And he says, Jesus says, "I'm the way." And what we're talking about here, this is really helping us understand what that means. How does the person of Jesus become the way? So let's go through the first section first. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Okay, so he's giving this visual, right? And most of you have been to some vineyard somewhere, right? So what it's talking about here is that the thing that comes right out of the ground, that big thick thing, that big gnarly thick thing, that all the juices for the grapes come through, that is the vine. And then you have these little branches coming off, and that's where the grapes hang. And this is actually speaking of that as well. And so it's basically covering these really simple analogy to communicate a really important truth, all right? And so as they visualize this happening, then Jesus will talk to them about how that means in relationship. So they start out with this place of the true vine. In other words, the true source of life is this vine. And it is actually a grapevine. It's really referring to that particular type of a vine. And then it says, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the vine. Again, explaining what this means, that Jesus being the way. And then he goes on to say, and my Father is the gardener. We start seeing this triune God being explained more and more. So we kind of take that. But the gardener, the word there is he's a dressmaker. He's a vine dresser where you go around and just clip off the dead things, the things that are diseased. Anything that's growing out that's not producing, clips that off as well for the sake of it doing better, right? And then it goes on to say, you and I, those who are connected to Jesus, his followers, are the branch. Now, if you notice, he says something interesting here. He's addressing something that they needed to know. And he says, by the way, you're clean because I've spoken that over you. And that word there is really a place that's really describing, if you would talk about the vine dresser, he'd be the cleaner. That's what they would be used as. They would clean up the vines. And he says, you're actually already clean. And that understanding there, it says you're unstained. Literally, it's just this place of spiritually guiltless and innocent. You're innocent. Because, and they're trying to process this because he's looking ahead to his atonement and what that's going to provide. And then it goes on to say that it shows really the whole way through. This is the purpose of the vine, is to produce a lot of really good fruit that people, that life comes out of. And so as you look at that, you know, you think, okay, so, you know, the fruit that you would see, that would be the beautiful grapes. And then, you know, but is there speaking of this place in which that obviously we're thinking about now spiritually, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, this place of love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and all the different good things that come from God actually come out of us, the branch, right? Now, this whole thing as far as this, you know, as humans, you know, the reason he says I'm the true vine is because everybody here, every human is seeking life somewhere. He's basically saying you can seek life from lots of things, but if you want true life, I am the true vine. I'm the true source. And he goes on to this place. Now, if you imagine this and think about what he says here, he starts it out by this radical statement. Now just take this in if you're in a depressed mood. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Wow. That's pretty big. Now just remain in that. Right? That's how he starts the whole thing out. And he goes on to talk about this place You guys give me lots of grace because I just had this thing figured out here a second ago. All right. And he goes on to talk about this place is that not only that is, oh, by the way, you're joined to me. You know, I'm not just giving you instruction. You're actually a part of me. And you're right with me. And I'm going to produce fruit out of you at levels that are amazing. As you connect to me, things will come out of you that would be impossible to ever come out of you because you're connected to me. And the only way, what it's making really clear here, the only way this is going to happen is you just, here's our part, remaining. The other word there would be abiding. And that word really just means to stay, to not depart, not leave, just stay. Continue to be present, right? So he goes on to say in the next section, now this next section, what he's doing here, he's talking a lot more, he's putting it into context, and he's taking this visual of this, the grapes hanging off the vine and the branches, and he's basically putting it into, actually in context, into a relationship. And he says, as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy would be made complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. And so what he's describing here, he's saying, you got the picture of the vine and the branches and the fruit, and this is how it works. And he begins talking about, like I said before, he starts with a statement of that, as the Father loved me, I have loved you, now remain in my love. And then he says, so what he's showing here is, how do you do that? And the first thing that he's doing here, he's basically talking about these things. He's saying, now keep my commands. So how do we remain, how do we abide in this place, this relationship? And one thing it makes very clear, and he says, or is to keep my commands. And here's what that means, is right now, many times, the way I'm following Jesus, the way that I'm choosing to relate to him, is not out of my feelings. I'm choosing to relate to him according to what is true. You guys know the difference here? I mean, when Jesus was in the 40 days and being tempted, he leaned on this. It was a disorienting time, and how did he get through that? He lived according to what was written. And he lived according to that. And it wasn't law, regulation, it was because that's what he knew was true. And that's how he loved God. And so as you look at that, is, you know, for me, like, this is why it's great. Scripture can just give you lots of really good instruction. Here's the ones that I think about like a lot lately. Be angry, but don't sin. Anger does not accomplish righteousness. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Judge not, you won't be judged. I found myself often in places where God is telling me, humble yourself. Resist the enemy and he'll flee from you. I mean, you can just go on and on. We can live according to those things, and that's what it means to abide in this place of his commands. And then he goes on to say this other thing. He says, keep my commands. Now, here's the one that is focused on more than anything is his instructions. He makes it real simple. Keep his commands, and here's the command. If you get confused on which one to keep, just keep this one. Love one another as I have loved you. Pretty much covers everybody. Pretty much covers anybody. Pretty much covers anybody who does anything to you. You know? It's hard to get out of that one, right? But it's so helpful to know if we want to abide, this is going to be how we do it. And then he goes on to say, when we are abiding, here's what happens. When we're in a spot of doing this, this fruit starts coming from this place of abiding. And one is everything, now listen to this one, Everything that I have learned from my Father I've made known to you. And he's basically saying, by the way, this isn't even a master-servant relationship where I say, do this, do this, do this. You are now actually connected to me to a point that you're part of God's business. In fact, you know what he's doing. And basically, I'm showing you more and more of what he's doing so you can get in on it. And it goes on to say, the other fruit that it talks about is, now when you do this, when you stay with God and you remain connected to him and don't pull away, that you get to experience God's joy in you. I don't completely understand that, but I like it, right? What God is feeling, we actually can begin feeling too. If you had someone who you're really close to, Debbie has this thing where she starts laughing sometimes. She watches these videos and she starts laughing. I mean, she cannot stop laughing. And I am trying to read or something and she just keeps laughing. And I start laughing. I don't know what I'm laughing at, but her joy somehow is coming into me, right? I don't know how this all works with God, but if God has joy, we get to actually experience and be a part of that because we're a part of him. And we get to experience our own joy as well. It goes on to say is, then you actually will have fruit come out of your life that will always last. I mean, that's worth it, isn't it? It's eternal. Now, so if you summarize this, how you look at this, it's pretty straightforward what he's saying here. It's saying, you are now connected to me and a part of me. You're right before me. You're clean. And your job is to simply remain. And then it says, how do you remain? And basically, he could have said lots of complicated things. But really, you know, here's how we remain. And he ends with this in 17, love each other. Don't you want something a little more complicated than that? I mean, don't you want to think about this a little bit more? Like, let's come up with some other things. No, this is it. If we want to remain connected to the vine, to Jesus, this is how we do it. And he could have said lots of things here. But this is what he says, not once, but he's been saying it over and over, even since the Passover meal, before the Passover. He's been saying the same thing. This is it. This is how you do it. You know, we're at a spot where everything's super complicated, right? We are people who need to hold the truth, speak truth, right? But we're in this environment that I'm just telling you, it is so difficult that an 82-year-old woman who seems really nice can't talk to me. And we're pushed in corners. And if you guys know what I'm talking about, and our struggle is not against flesh and blood here. It's not it. And when we think it's against flesh and blood, we are going to lose. The church is not going to be what it's supposed to be. We are to be the light and the salt in this world that's so divided. And I'm just saying, it's too complicated to figure out other than stay close to Jesus and remain, obey his commands, and mostly the way you do that is you choose to love the people around you. Not some of them. Not the ones that don't drive you crazy or tick you off or have hurt you or have said things. None of that. You're to love every person. Right? But you can't do that unless you remain connected to Jesus. One drives you to the other. When you can't do it, you open yourself more to connect to the vine. And when you do it, you know it wasn't you. I mean, we're just at a spot that, here's what I've learned over my old time, lifetime. Do you guys think I'm old, by the way? Who thinks I'm old? Raise your hand. I thought I was young. I was kidding. Who's lying right now at this very moment? See, Tyler thought he was old. That's good. That's good. Good. Thank you. But in my old age, here's what I've learned. When things get so complicated I can't figure them out, I feel stuck, I'm being duped by the enemy. Every time. Every time. I said, whenever I feel stuck and I feel it's too complicated to figure out and I feel cornered and I feel helpless and it seems like impossible, it doesn't matter how much I believe it's impossible, I know I am under the scheme of the enemy and buying into it. And God doesn't expect children and sheep to figure their way out of complicated situations. All he expects them is to come close to him. That's it. And choose to do what the shepherd says, which is love other people, regardless, period. Right? And we're at this stage right now that it's so hard to do. I don't know about you, but my flesh doesn't go that direction right now. I get so stirred up, and I try not to, right? And here's the thing about that. Fighting the desires of your flesh will not overcome your flesh. In Galatians, when it talks about our flesh, here's how it says to overcome the power of your desires that take you to places that are destructive and not good, to take you away from fruit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It's not by fighting your flesh, it's by choosing to live according to the Spirit of God, which is telling you love every person. Now, choosing to live according to the commands of God. And so we're at this spot in which that we have real issues of racism in our country and racial divide. We have real issues of economic loss, and we have pain in people's lives, and we have the political system that just can get anybody going, right? And it just, everything's out there. And if we fall into the normal narrative, even if we try to do it in a little bit more nice way, we're going to lose. But if we choose to listen to the Spirit, and when we speak truth, we always speak in love, but we listen to the Spirit, it doesn't mean we're not defined. It doesn't mean we don't believe what we believe. It's not that we don't stand for what we believe. It's a place in which that we have to do it how God does it. And love always has to be above everything else. And since you guys think I'm old, I'll close with one last thing. The other thing I've learned in my old age is that watching lots of people's lives, the enemy has one simple strategy. Isolate, cut off, and destroy. Pull away. And so you have to understand, when you want to pull away from so many people right now, which everybody wants to pull away from so many people right now, in certain ways, because it's just too hard. When we have to realize we can't. It's not okay. And because the enemy knows that's his scheme, to isolate, to pull off, and destroy. And so that's why it's saying, here's what you do in the middle of an uncertain world. You remain. You don't leave. And you can leave emotionally or physically. Internally, you choose to still stay engaged. The worship team can come up. I want to give an invitation as we get started closing up here. The worship team, come on up. You know, I want to try to get practical and like, how do we stay in this place of remaining with God and choosing to never say, you know, I don't need to really love this person because of the things that they've done. It doesn't mean you don't have opinions about that. It doesn't mean you have convictions about things. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying is that we are not allowed to define ourselves against other people according to the Scripture. And so, just say no to this temptation. When you go in to have this place of Say no to the temptation to judge or define yourself against another, against anyone or any group of people, and pray for them instead. I'm just telling you, prayer is the way you have to, that's the way you move from disconnecting from the vine to connecting the vine. And it's the only way you'll be able to see people as God sees them. And the second is moving others towards Jesus. I think a little bit of what I talked about before is, let's just start praying more than we have. I mean, that sounds simplistic. I have to admit, this is talking to me. I've been strategizing a lot, praying less. And I just want to start praying for the stuff that's going on in the world instead of just letting it hit me and dodging it. I want to start praying for those things that break my heart, those things that are not right, those places where people are dehumanizing another person, the person is defined against. I want to start praying about those things. And throughout your day, understand God, you're connected to Jesus. And your simple interaction with the people around you, whether it be your kids, your neighbors, your friends, your work, or whatever, the fruit of God can come through and bring eternal change by that one interaction.